When you start talking about careers, people are only interested in seeking protection so that they can climb the ladder. In corporations, in businesses, everybody's trying to get higher. How high can I go? What promotions are available? What can I do next? I want to go up. Everybody wants to go up. Nobody wants to go down. Everyone wants to be higher. Everybody wants to be bigger. Everybody wants to be greater. And no matter what method we choose, whether it's the best looking, the best dress, the best style, the best this, the best that, the most educated, the most intellectual, the most articulate, everybody's trying to get further along than the people beside them, because all that is advertised to us is grandeur and opulence and excessiveness. And so here we are in a fight between political powers, between races, between family members, between genders. It's a fight. I don't know whether you've noticed or not. It's a war going on between men and women. We used to like each other, want to get with each other. Now we've turned our guns on each other. God help us to have some children, because we're all in, and the church is not exempt from this. There is an insatiable desire amongst many, even in the church, for status, titles, and recognition. And to get it, they'll do anything, say anything, undermine anybody, kill your reputation, destroy your influence, go after you by any means necessary so that they can get to the top. And I'm starting to wonder if there is any substantial difference between the church and the world, because everybody is trying to get up. Nobody's trying to get down. Nobody's trying to be low. Even when we do the right things, we often do them for the wrong reasons. I'm after you this morning. We do right things for the wrong reason. To be sure, those who put others' needs above their own often do the right thing, but they do it for the wrong reasons, because they want to medicate low self-esteem. And they do so to their own detriment. They become people pleasers in the hopes that they will get something back from the people that they seek to please that validates their own existence. They are self-medicating their pain by false missions of humility because they think so little of themselves that they do the right thing. But it's for the wrong reason. It isn't their service that is toxic. They give great service. It is the motive of being people pleasers that is the problem. The antithesis, however, is we have become so against being people pleasers that we no longer serve. We seek only to be served. We have this vision, this idea, this philosophy that being served elevates us into positions of authority. And so if we can't have that, we would rather be alone than serve anybody. We would rather be lonely and alienated and go to bed every night hugging our pillow rather than to serve anybody. And the children cannot learn how to serve because they cannot be what they do not see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somehow it has been made more significant in our minds to meet a ravenous need for acceptance. This kind of good deeds and service giving is fictitious, is phony, it's fraudulent. It has a negative motive behind it, because it seeks grandeur by doing acts of service in the spirit of manipulation. This is an exercise in total futility, because people will eventually come to see your kindness as weakness. They will use you till they use you up, and it still won't elevate you to the place that you need to be. I know I ought to get an amen right there. Servitude cannot be done for what you can get out of it, for how you can be acknowledged or how you can be recognized or how you can be validated by it. You cannot medicate a low self-esteem, a fear, a vulnerability by hiding your vulnerability, by acting like you care about people, but you really don't. You really just want to be seen in a certain light. The real test is, would you do it if nobody was looking? Would you do it with the lights off and the cameras gone? Would you do it if the boss didn't see you? I'm not worried about the people who serve in this church when I'm here. I'm not worried about the people who come to church when I'm here. I am suspect of people who only do it when I'm here. You couldn't be doing it for the right reason if you only do it when I'm looking. I'm not worried about the staff member who performs well when seen and say they love you, but they really don't love you because they're really killing you, because the only way they will do their job, by which they get paid for all the time, is when you're looking. I'm gonna set it off in here this morning. Real servitude must come from a sincere place, an authentic place of strength. I know you don't associate servitude with strength, but you have to be strong to serve. I'm going to shock you with this. I know you think all the people who are serving either because they're ignorant or because they're stupid or because they're weak and they should have got more this or more that, or they should have been more ambitious or more degrees or more education or more this or that or the other. But you have to be strong to serve. Do not allow the menial tasks that we do to blind you of the absolute strength it takes to give yourself away. You have to have strength, and you have to feel safe enough to become vulnerable enough to be of service to others. And the reason some people will never serve is because they're too weak to serve. Because they're afraid if they lay it down, they'll never get it back. So they would rather fight you for the position than serve you, because they're weak. It's really weakness. I have learned over the years that arrogant people are the weakest people I have ever met. They are arrogant because beneath that disguise, that's why I wore this camouflage, beneath this camouflage, and I like it and I think it's cute, but I gotta keep it 100. But come on, somebody. I'm not the only one wearing camouflage in here. It's a whole lot of people wearing camouflage here with a false sense of importance because they don't have the strength to serve. You have to be strong to serve. You have a sense of self and identity in order to be a good servant. You have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you can't lay down what you don't know. I don't do it because I'm weak. I serve because I'm strong. I'm here because I'm strong. Just because I'm on a stage doesn't mean I'm not serving. See, you think getting into a higher position isn't service. That's the problem. It's like people who start companies because they're lazy. I'm going to be an entrepreneur so I can sleep in the morning. You're going to be broke. You're going to starve to death. Because if you start a business, you're going to work twice as hard for half as much trying to pay the people, and you're the last one to get paid because you have to be strong enough to be the boss. You got to pay the cost to be the boss. Come on, talk back to me. I wish you would. I'm ready for you. So you have to feel safe, and you have to be strong to serve. And a lot of us don't feel safe because we have been used or misused or abused, and we have allowed the behavior of the recipient to change who we are as a person, to protect ourselves from somebody who is no longer present. Somebody who is gone has disrupted your future over something they did in the past, and now you are camouflaging your propensity to give your gift and your service and your time and your love into a false sense of arrogance because you're too weak to be healed. Because healed people can be vulnerable. Healed people can help people. Healed people can serve people. Healed people understand that the only job in the kingdom is slave. Why do you think in God's green earth did Jesus, on the last night of his life, get up from the table, gird himself with a towel, stoop down on the floor, and wash the feet of the people who were his disciples, and then said, if I, being Lord, know how to serve, how much more ought you to be able to serve? And yet, you won't give up your seat. Somebody's sitting in my chair. Jesus got out of his chair and washed other people's feet. But when I say you're not a Christian, you get hot mad at me over a parking space. Oh, let me get off of this, Lord. It ain't going good, Jesus. It's not going good because what I'm teaching about affects every area of your life. Your peace, your happiness, your mental well-being, how you see yourself, how you relate to yourself, how you relate to your family, how you relate to your friends, your spouse, your co-workers, your laborers, has to come from a place of strength and safety where you do what's got to be done, whether it's in your job description or not. When you see something that needs to be done, you just jump in there and help get it done. You're not after the credit. You don't need the recognition. You don't need the glory. You don't need to be acknowledged. You do it because it's within your power to be of help to your fellow man, because you love the Lord like that. And you are so blessed to be alive and blessed to be here that you don't mind giving whatever service you can give to if I can help somebody as I pass along. If I can help somebody in a word or song, then my living will not be in vain. So that means that all the camouflage is vanity. All this fake strength I see, I'm just strong. I'm just a strong person. And they can't deal with me because I'm strong. No, we can't deal with you because you're arrogant. We can't deal with you because you're nasty. We can't deal with you because you're hateful. It's not your degrees that's the problem. It's your attitude. Somebody hurts you so bad that you don't feel safe enough to serve. And then you wonder why you are so alone. This camouflage is killing you. It is so heavy. Because you act tough around everybody and go home and cry. It would be easier to get healed into a place that we are not constantly fighting over who's the boss and who's the smartest and who's the greatest and who's the most talented and who can sing the best and who can preach the best and who can do that. It doesn't matter. The best preacher I ever heard is the one God was using. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. The best preacher I ever heard is the one that God was using. And he never uses the same person all the time. And you've got to learn whether you're up or down. I can tell what kind of preacher you are, how you act when you're not preaching. Because if you really love the word, you love the word. I don't care who's delivering the word. If you only love the word when you got the mic, you don't love the word. If you only worship when you got the mic, you're not a real worshiper. A real worshiper will fall out in the floor even when somebody else.